Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Blue Surge podcast. It is Mike alongside Joe for another awesome week to talk about the game that we love. Joe, how have you been this week, my man?
Exhausted.
I feel like every week you just give me like a different, like, you have a thesaurus out for being tired.
Oh, yeah, I do have a checklist.
He's like, all right, I've said exhausted. I was tired last week. Next week, I'm going to be sleep deprived.
Maybe pooped.
Yeah, pooped is a good one. I like that one a lot. You'll have to save that one for a special day. Although today kind of is a special podcast. It kind of is special.
Why?
It is special because we finally broke that 1,000 total listen barrier. Joe, we finally did it.
We did it? People listened 1,000 times last week?
Baby steps, Joe. Baby steps.
Oh. Okay. So like, don't quit your job yet.
This sucks. Yeah, don't quit your job. We still got some room to grow, to say the least. But we did cross 1,000 total listens, which is obviously a really big goal. This is something that we didn't know necessarily how far it was going to end up going. But here we are. This would be episode 26, I want to say. So we're just past like 6 months of doing this podcast, which is kind of wild.
It's pretty long so far.
Yeah, you think back, it only feels like it's been a couple months, but really we've moved through like 5 or 6 regionals, worlds. We went through the past spring all the way to now. And before you know it, we're going to be hitting episode, 52. We are officially half a year. We're halfway through a full year, full calendar worth of the podcast. And that'd be pretty awesome to hit that year mark. I think we will definitely hit that mark without question. It's just cool to have this number in mind, you know? It's kind of like we hit a benchmark. A milestone is always really good to see.
It is.
So I'm in, and we thought about doing something special. I thought about doing something unique. But, you know, at the end of the day, what this podcast is about is sitting down and talking about the game, like we said, that we are passionate about. So instead of just going through and doing something cheesy and special, we're just going to have a normal podcast. We're going to have our buddy Brian on. Unfortunately, we were not able to line up times. We will have Brian on again soon because he is an awesome kind of third man to this group. He's like our pseudo third member.
Oh.
What were you going to say?
Udo.
Brian is our pseudo Udo.
He likes Munchlax more, really, but
Brian is our Snorlax. That's fair. I think he'll like that.
He is our Chris, which is Sophocles.
Which is Sophocles. He is our Sophocles. We have a few things to talk about today. Part of it's going to be news. Part of it is actually going to be related to actually our personal league area, people that we know that listen to the podcast. We have a member of our community that did really, really well in a League Cup that we want to talk about both what happened and kind of have a conversation about the deck he chose to play. And then we're going to go into an article that actually Brian wrote that I wanted to have him on to talk about, and we'll have a quick discussion about that. The first thing we're going to get to in terms of news is more on the Japanese side of the card game. We have a few articles of news and information that may or may not make its way to us. I figure it will in some way, but I don't know if it'll actually impact the format or impact us playing at all. The first thing was revealed in the most recent Korokoro magazine. Japan will, in fact, have another essentially best of Sun and Moon, about like they had the best of XY. It will be called Tag All-Stars. This is a set that shows Mewtwo Tag Team, Pikarom, Reshazard. Those are the three that are on the cover of the card art for the packs. It's going to contain some of the new GXs that Cosmic Eclipse will have, like Togepi, Cleffa, Igglybuff. I imagine Dialga, Arceus, and Palkia will be in there as well. Essentially, it's just a best of set. It's nothing too crazy, and we did get best of XY, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get it. All I can really hope for is that we get alternative arts, like more alternative arts. I think that'd be kind of cool.
But what if, I'm theorizing here, the tin arts that we're getting right now for these alternate art stuff, Do you think those alternate arts will be available in Japan through this PAX? Are we getting the alternate arts ahead of time before they do?
You know, we might be, because I don't think they're getting the tins. I can't confirm whether or not they're getting the tins, but it might be the case.
It'd be pretty cool if Pokemon leveled the playing field that way.
I think it would be. That would be very interesting. That again, we get things before they do, or close to it. This is going to be an official set. It comes out at the beginning of October for them. I could see us getting some sort of premium set. It wouldn't be anytime soon because we're kind of jam-packed in the fall. But it's something to talk about. The next article of news is actually something that I really, really hope we get. I really, really hope we get this. On the same day that the Tag All-Stars set is coming out, Japan is getting something called the Black and White XY Expanded Regulation Box. It's going to be about 4,400 yen, which is about 40, 41 bucks of US dollars. This box is going to come with about 200 cards from the Black and White and X and Y sets. And essentially, it's a box that gets you into Expanded. It's going to have your Shamans and Dark Patch, Skyfield. It shows Mega Rayquaza, Volcanion, the fire slash water type, the dual type one, a computer search ace spec, some sleeves. It really sort of bumps players into Expanded and makes that format a lot more accessible. I really hope we get something like this.
It'd be really cool, especially if they've been trying to push more Expanded in the US the last few years by making more Expanded tournaments. So I'm really hoping it comes over here so people bite into it and able to get some of the staple cards and some of the staple things that they need. Like, because computer searches for a while were 50 bucks a piece.
I think it's still probably 30, 40 bucks.
Dark Patch has always been an expensive card, I think $5.
Dark Patch has been expensive as long as old Darkrai has been in format. It's still 30 bucks for a damaged card. It's a $40 card still, computer searches.
Yeah.
So I really hope that we get it. And will it be 40 bucks? I doubt it. If it's going to include cards like computer search, but also at the same time, you're pushing a format that not a lot of people play because of its weird prices and not enough people around play it. This would be a perfect opportunity to lower the price of some of those cards because really they're only expensive because of them being printed so limited, right?
Yep.
I mean, if computer searches were continuously being printed, it wouldn't be a $40 card.
Exactly.
So I really hope that we get this. I think that it would be really good for NA, Europe, Japan, everywhere. Because again, I just don't think enough people play this format. And the only people that play it are the pros. I mean, there's very few people that we know that play the expanded format.
Very few. That'd be a fun thing to do one week on a really off week. And we can talk about the expanded format and see, look into some decks for that.
I would love to, Ed, but before we do that, I need to play it more. You know what I mean? Like we've built expanded decks before. I've built Sceptile Vileplume. I've built Dusknoir. I've built a lot of fun lists, but they just never pan out past a couple playthroughs because people don't play the format. You know, you're better off using your time playing a format that people are going to indulge in. And I really think it would be cool if more local communities at least open this up. You know, maybe don't replace a local day with expanded, but open up an opportunity to where, I don't know, maybe on your Saturday where you're kind of just playing more casually, you open it up to the expanded format, you know. Like on Saturday, expanded is allowed. Bring your expanded decks. Not force it, but just encourage it. Because I feel like we just don't even talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to talk about because the format's so huge. Black, white, XY, now Sun and Moon era.
Yeah, and I know everyone is like, oh, wow, I want to play it. There's just Zoroark everywhere. And I get that argument. People don't want to play expanded because it's more of the same. And there's more broken combinations, quote unquote. But again, I think it's a super fun tier that I wish I've explored more. I wish. So I hope this comes out. I hope it pushes expanded a little more in NA in Europe. And maybe in 3 or 4 months, you and I are talking about some expanded lists. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, with the expanded format, though, there is not really a meta game.
No.
From what I noticed. It's so big to the point where it's a format that does not stale. Where the standard format, you're stuck with a certain meta decks the entire time. Expanded, you have 3 whole eras to choose from.
Yeah, it's perfect. And again, your community will promote the decks that it wants to. If you're playing expanded casually with no prize pool, you're not going to get the Zoro eggs. You're not going to get Mewtwo Seismitoad. You're not going to get these combinations that are quote unquote broken and quote, and well, not quote unquote, that are just toxic against other expanded matchups. So sweet. I'm in for it. I hope it happens. The last part of news is something that is coming to NA. We do have an official image and information about the collector's lunchbox tin that we will be getting. It's going to be themed after the most recent Pokemon movie remake, Mewtwo Strikes Back Evolution. This box will have its normal stuff, some stickers, a coin, a little mini portfolio thing, a PTCGO card, a few packs, and then its promos. The promos that we're getting, one of them we've already gotten, and that is the Charizard from... It's not Team Up, is it? It's the one with the ability that allows it to attach energy from the deck. I can't remember what set that's from. I want to say Team Up, but don't quote me on that.
We're going to quote you on that.
You can quote me, it's fine. The only cool part about this Charizard, it will be valuable to some degree because it's the art of the evil Charizard in the movie. So you know the clones that they make in the original movie?
Yeah.
So it's the clone of it. So it looks different. It's got red splotches all over it. So it's a different Charizard art. I actually really, really, really like this card a lot.
It's like a Charizard tiger.
It does look like a Charizard tiger. So it'll definitely have its price point. We are going to get that. We are getting a Pikachu. This Pikachu has a pretty nice art. I can't complain with this one. It's got your basic 60 HP, quick attack, Thunderbolt. It is a basic that hits for 80. So that's neat. I could see it maybe possibly being played in just other decks that have Raichu, because this might be the hardest hitting Pikachu that we have. And it's not named something odd or Ash's Pikachu or anything else. The final card we are getting is the Armored Mewtwo card. We talked about this probably 2 months back, I would guess. A full art card, kind of like the full art basics that we're getting later this fall. It has the Armored Mewtwo on the cover of it. It has 120 HP. It's got one attack for 3 psychic energy. Psychic Raid, it does 130 damage, and this Pokemon can attack during your opponent's next, or during your next turn. Does a card like this have any value with 130 being the damage cap?
Nope. It's a cool looking card, and that's really about it.
Yeah. About 6 months ago, I would have given you a different answer.
Like, 130 is fine, but this Pokemon can't attack next turn, which is kind of a bummer.
And it's got 3 retreat. That's kind of the other crappy part.
3 psychic? Basic? Well,
yeah, but I'm saying its retreat is 3.
I know.
I mean, Malamar, it's one of those things where it can't even really be attack because it's 3 psychic.
No, there's a lot better techs out there.
Well, it's more of Giratina's just head over heels better. So is Necrozma.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, that won't see anything. The Charizard will hold some value. The Pikachu has a possibility to be played somewhere down the road in a Raichu deck, because I do think it's probably a pretty decent Pikachu card. But it doesn't know Nuzzle, so that's another argument against it. This is going to be coming out in November, a week after the video game Sword and Shield is released. It will be $25. So that's what's going on in the news. I think we've covered all that. What we are going to do now, we are going to have a conversation about a recent League Cup that happened at our local card store. Joe, you and I did not compete in this tournament. It was something where happenstance, schedules, we weren't able to play. Could we have played? Yes. But is that something that you force? Do you force yourself to go show up for 9 hours of a card game? You don't. So that's something that I think we probably should have been there, could have been there, but we didn't end up going in. But one of our very, very good friends and listener of the show ended up winning the League Cup with Baby Blacephalon. This was awesome to follow and keep track of. I don't know, what do you want to say? It's pretty awesome that he was able to win a League Cup with Baby Blacephalon among everything that's running around out there.
It definitely made my day. You know, it was really cool to hear. I had to do a double take and figure out, wait, he was playing Baby Blacephalon and made top eight with it. Because I still want to say it. I don't like the deck that much, so I'm going to keep on saying that. But same thing, like you mentioned in the quotes, like, he knew his matchups. He played it for a long time, was really comfortable with it, and ran away with it. That's what we've been trying to say for weeks.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to kind of split up this conversation. We're going to take it one part at a time where we're going to talk about just how happy we are about how the deck performed for our dear friend David, and then we're going to talk about it from a meta perspective very quickly and kind of take off our friend hat. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about it in a supportive way, and then we're going to talk about it in a critical way. So I think it's important that we divide those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Because we should celebrate this completely, and we definitely are going to. The list is posted on our Facebook, so if you want to take a look at the list, you can. This was definitely catered towards the Pikaram Reshazard Mewtwo meta. There are 6 stadiums in this deck. 3 Ultra Space, Power Plant, Giant Hearth, and a Heat Factory. It does play a 1 of Beast Ball, which I think is definitely a good play without the search that it has.
That's fantastic. And the fact, too, they can check your prize cards.
Yeah, it's definitely good for that first attack that it has. Baby Blonde has that first attack, isn't it? It's 10 plus 50.
Blazer.
Yeah, so it does help you with that. It's got a stadium nav to help you find those stadiums. We have 4 of Fire Crystal, which would be pretty normal in this deck. It's got a 1 of Blacephalon GX and a 1 of Victini Prism Star. 4 Baby Blounds. Let's see, is there anything else on here that's unique? 2 Brock's Grit. I imagine that's just kind of a safety net. Nothing more past that. And really, it's a list that if it runs, it runs. You know?
And it sprinted.
Yeah, seriously, you go 6-1-1 on the day, I believe, and you play enough Pikarama Reshazards, and you're gonna succeed. You know, prize trade, you know you win. And if you can get Baby Blounds quick enough, if you can get 2 or 3 on the board, you don't even necessarily need them set up, just on the board, you're gonna be fine. And I was super happy to hear this. I know that he went up against a lot of the big tag team decks. I'm trying to see what else we took in terms of notes. I think that the biggest takeaway from this that we are really happy about, and I think I'm talking for both of us here, David decided to choose a deck that he was comfortable with and a deck that he liked. It was something where when we talked to him, he said he was wishy-washy on showing up to the League Cup. Ended up just bringing a couple decks and just was like, screw it, I'm going with Baby Blounds. You know, this is the deck that I've been playing since it came out. It has treated me well on a lot of days. It's treated me poorly on some others. But this is the deck that I'm going to have the most fun with.
If you're going to play all day long with a certain deck, might as well have fun with it.
Yeah, seriously. He could have picked a Malamar. He could have picked a Pikaram, anything, and been miserable all day. And here he is picking a deck that he is comfortable with, that we had a whole podcast about. And David's success is proof of our conversation. I don't think David's success had anything to do with you and I, but validates. And I'm just trying to clarify what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
His success has nothing to do with us, but his success validates what we've been saying. You know, it's the closest point that we can reach out to that says, look, this is someone who played what they loved, played it well, and succeeded completely. And that's the biggest thing to take away from this. You know, it should be motivation for anyone else that listens to the podcast, that it's living proof that you can play just what you enjoy and have just as good of a chance to win as the next guy.
Yeah, especially if you find a mechanic that you like. We're not telling you to go out and play a whole strictly just Pikachu and Pikachu GX deck, because it's generally not a good card. But Blacephalon's got a great attack, a lot of good things to it, has multiple variants to it, but it's got a multiple tier feel to it. The deck list was built pretty smart. You got your four welders, your four greens, your bills, a lot of recycle. It's either attach quickly and find a way to do it, or recycle back. There's two options. So you really are really cycling through. And the fact that they're playing three Ultra Space, one Giant Hearth, and a Power Plant, one Heat Factory, you're playing a bunch against fire decks anyways. Reshazard, they're playing Giant Hearth, so you don't have to play multiple more than one. You'd rather have your bench full.
Correct. Yeah. It was a safety net list, is what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know, it was a list where he went, I'm going to do all I can to make sure that I don't get screwed out of this. It's a simple combo. I'm going to form the deck around just making sure that it's always there. And I was trying to think, I was going to say something else, and I really just kind of had a brain fart here, which is really bumming me out.
Uh-oh. Mike's brain farting.
You know what? I'm just happy that he succeeded. It's cool. Yeah. It's cool to see this. And now I know what I was going to bring up. He also mentioned to us that, again, this is a deck where he knew his matchups well. Again, you go against so many Pikarams, Reshazards, Mewtwo's, Malamars, whatever. And he knew his goals. He knew his matchups. And outside of card games, it's been proven that people that have goals and understand how to reach them are always more successful. And you put that in the sense of a card game, and you know your goals, you can focus on them, and you are more successful. I think it will always stay that way. Is there always something that involves picking the right deck and expecting a certain meta? Of course, but that's also part of the skill, you know? He picked a deck that was going to be good against what he thought the meta was going to be and proved that it was the correct choice.
Yeah, most people said this deck would not survive without a Worshipful Town. And I think the fact that David's been playing this deck for such a long period of time made him more comfortable with the decisions that he needed to make to prioritize and know where the energy lies at each turn, which I think is the more impressive part, because I can see a lot of people getting frustrated piloting this deck without Wishful Baton because it rotated.
I think people just give up. You know, I think when a deck loses simplicity, a lot of people shy away from it, and I'm glad that he stuck with it, really.
Yeah.
I think now we can kind of take a step back, though, and now let's talk about this quickly as a critical decision. You know, so now we're taking our friend head off. Congratulations to David and everything he accomplished. Let's take a look at this deck now in the grand scheme of things. You know, we have a regional coming up, and this was not the only baby Blounce to succeed over the weekend. There were not tons, but there were enough to make it a conversation of, does Baby Blounce have any ground to be successful in the grand scheme of things? And before I share mine, I would love to ask what your opinion is.
With the recent way the cups, leagues, and tournaments have gone, and the placements, you're seeing Mew3, you're seeing Reshazard, you're seeing Pikarang, you're seeing a majority of those three decks being played. Some Malamar here and there, and some Blacephalon here and there. Not Baby, but regular GX Blacephalon. But the majority of the field are three huge tag team GX decks where all you need to do to take is two knockouts. And I think maybe Blacephalon's in a meta where that is possible if you can get all your proper cards in a bunch. With the way he has this deck built with four Pokégears, four welders, four greens, it seems like an easy choice or easy way to get what you need on the turns that you need it. So I think it was a great meta call, especially with all the placements, like I said, being the three tag team GX decks recently. Going to a baby deck that hits hard is a smart call. But without Pushable Time, makes this deck a lot harder. And I'm glad, and without Rescue Stretcher, makes that a lot harder as well. Without Nest Balls, you're relying on Ultra Space to get your Pokemon out. So it's a pretty tough gig, but he made it work somehow. And I wish I was there to kind of see and watch him play it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it definitely has a potential in the meta. Being as critical as I can be with the matchups, I want to say this. I think this deck still responds really poorly to Reset Stamp.
Reset Stamp and Pika Judge.
And the recent Pikaram variant. And obviously he succeeded against Pikarams. However, I do feel like if you put this in a setting such as Atlantic City, where we're going to be seeing a lot of professional and super high level players playing the game, let's put it this way. At a League Cup, you prepare for what you expect you're going to see, you know? So the people playing Reshazard, people playing Pikaram, prepare for what they think they're going to see, which is usually other Pikarams, other Reshazards, Malamar, Mewtwo. Fair?
Fair.
You get to a league, a regional situation, you're not going to prepare a list of 60 for four decks as much. You're not going to remove certain cards that get you out of the hole. I think that when it comes to a regional, I think that not only Reset Stamp is going to be played in heavy enough numbers, I just think that Baby Blounds is a deck that, if it runs hot, it runs hot. And could it go 12-0? Of course it could. This is a deck that of course it could. And it plays greens and welder and bills, and it has Heat Factory. Like, yes, it can still get its tools that it needs to. So I'm not going to say that it's going to brick as easily. But what I am going to say is there's a lot of people out there who would play Pika Judge and who play Reset Stamp and could easily overcome this matchup. You know, so just kind of like you said, I really think Blacephalon's success is really just going to be dependent on how little people think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And maybe that goes with every deck, so maybe it sounds like I'm running in circles with this point. But I really feel like this is a deck that could run you into day two, but I don't think could win a regional. I think you're asking yourself to go hot for too long, and I think you're asking yourself to outplay people, and this deck doesn't really have a lot of room to outplay anybody. It kind of has one job, and that's it. And if you get stopped for a turn, you kind of fall off the edge. You know, you need to be a consistent engine every turn. Like, if you go up against a Greens Reshazard, you go up against a Gardevoir, you go up against a Malamar deck, you go up against a Pika Judge. Those are four decks that I think this archetype struggles to perform against. Seriously, I mean, if a Blacephalon goes up against enough Malamars, it's going to very much struggle to get over that hump as much as it would a tag team deck.
Yeah, it, because when I was talking to David about this deck too, he was talking about, he felt, at least some of the people that were playing Malamar maybe, felt that Malamar was just too slow of a setup to get anything going to the point. And it's possible, but I'm wondering if a pro player playing Malamar would overrun the deck a little bit. Because once the Malamars are set up and the deck doesn't run any custom catchers, it's hard to call up a Malamar to slow them down.
Yeah, and spell tag's a thing. You know, three spell tags knocks out one Blacephalon, and I know you can say that, well, that means they have to play them perfectly. Well, in a regional, normally they are played, you know, exactly how they need to be played. I would honestly, if I were to rank this deck, just a strict 1 to 10, I think this is a very fair rating. I would give it a 7.
Wait, what's 1 and what's 10?
1 is an awful deck that has no consistency and no right being good. 10 is your opponent has to make your opponent has to be super lucky to beat it.
So I think Disruption, Sheninja, Stall deck to Reshazard.
Sure, yeah, we'll do that. I'm going to give it a 7, and that's the most generous number I can give it, because I am impressed by the power that it always can bring to the table. You know, I'm always impressed by that. I think that if I gave it a 6, I think it would be a little insulting to the list, if I'm quite honest. I think it would be insulting to give Blacephalon anything less than a tier 2 status. if I was just being honest.
Yeah, I think 7's a fair reading.
Yeah, and I don't... Again, I think that's a super good number for this deck to be at. The only reason you can't make it an 8 or a 9 is because it's so combo heavy and it's a card game. You know, we talk about how Pika Judge is good because Pika Judge has the ability to play Judge and has all these tools to get all of these combinations. And Blacephalon has one, maybe two. I mean, obviously Victini's there. Obviously Blacephalon GX is there. But those are two cards that people are so well versed against that it's not going to shock people. You know, I feel like maybe Blacephalon becomes an 8 or a 9 if it shocks people. If it really throws you off. Like David told us that in the finals, the guy that was playing Reshazard against him, he saw Baby Blacephalon. He's like, yeah, my opponent had no idea what to do against this deck. Like, he was just like, yeah, I can't beat this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I know like last week he played Blacephalon and I played Spirit Tomb. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how do I get around all this stuff? I was playing one prizes versus one prizer, so it took a long time.
Yeah, but it's something that if it blindsides you, it'll bulldoze you over. You just hope that you don't get reset stamped and judged and things like that. I hope it would be really cool to see a Baby Blondes deck do well. And if we were to be in a format that it was able to, you know, I guess with it proving that it can be good enough without Wishful Baton. Well, I mean, what am I saying? It has Welder. You know, like, so of course it's not going to be bad. It has Welder, which might as well be your Wishful Baton. You know, like, obviously there's more steps in between, but I think it's very reasonable, especially with Giant Hearth. You know, in combo with Fire Crystal and Giant Hearth and Energy Recycle System, which maybe not everyone would play, and David did, and Fiery Flint, it almost doesn't lose a lot now because of Welder. So maybe we were wrong about that. Maybe that's what it's proving. And maybe it's proving to us that we were wrong about Baby Blacephalon, and it can stand on 2 feet. It just might not be good enough to move the chains all the way forward. And I think that's kind of where we're going to land on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good conversation about Baby Blounds. I really enjoyed that. Again, super cool deck. And congratulations to our friend David again for being so successful with it. Our next friend that we do want to talk about is our dear friend Brian. Brian recently wrote an article for PokeJungle. If you don't know that website, it's a website that posts information about the games coming out. Anything Pokemon, they're going to be talking about it. You should go over there and find an article titled, "The Pokemon TCG Needs to Evolve." This is an article, again, written by our friend. It will say by Shuki. That is his online persona, his username, however you want to say it. I would totally go check out this article, and we're going to talk about it for a few minutes before we go, so we can both give him some spotlight and revisit a subject that I think we've talked about a few times. As Brian said the last time he was on, Brian hates tag teams. He hates them. And a lot of people do. Joe, you hate them too.
I do, and so does David.
You do, and so does David, as he played Baby Blounds. I'm indifferent about it, but for the most part, a lot of people don't like him because of the speed that the game has achieved, the numbers that the game has achieved, and the damage output. Brian really likes evolution decks. And over that, Brian really likes a format where everything is viable. Quote unquote, everything is viable. All styles is what he says. Basically, his article breaks down the problem that Pokemon has right now, and the problem being that these big basics just move so fast, you lose room for stage twos that don't have like this niche style to them, mainly being acceleration. If you don't have a stage two deck that can accelerate, or an evolution deck, if you don't have a Malamar, if you don't have a easy way to get rare candy, whatever that is, you really don't have a grounds to be good, you know. And that's something that you, I know, are very passionate about arguing, is that you can't play these baby evolution types because, one, they're not GXs, and two, you can't get them turn one, and we're in a format where turn one is possible. You know, turn one and turn two are basically like, did you win, did you not? Oof.
Yeah, I think these last couple rotations, with the exception to Gardevoir GX and Decidueye GX, but Decidueye GX had Force a Giant Plan. So that was basically instant. They just really favor these big HP heavy basic Pokemon to the point where you're not wanting to play anything else, which really is a bummer. And like you said, you just can't get it out fast enough, which is awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Because a lot of cool Pokemon, especially like they try to promote all these starter Pokemon in their final evolutions. I love Blastoise as a card. It's fantastic. But I can't play it because it does not fast enough because for some reason, Charizard and Reshiram can hit 230 by turn two.
Yeah, it's a real problem when it comes to both people that enjoy evolution decks and really getting people into the game. You know, I've talked about before, my girlfriend's really big into Magic and would love to play Pokemon, but her biggest complaint before was that she can't play the Pokemon she likes to play.
I think it's also a very impatient format, too.
Super impatient. It's super impatient. And it's, you thought that Triple Colorless would bring in more evolutions, but there just haven't been enough cards that benefit from that. You know, and again, Brian goes through the evolution of cards such as Mewtwo in his article. He talks about how, looking at Mewtwo as it's gone throughout the ages, in 2003, it was 100 HP Pokemon that for 3 energy hit 60. And that was Mewtwo EX. And then fast forward 15, 16 years later, and Mewtwo's a 270 HP tag team that can copy attacks from other people. Like, it evolves that quickly. I mean, even from 2003 to 2011, so not even 10 years, it's got 170 HP, and for the same energy cost as Cyburn that did 60, it does 120. It already doubled. You know, it completely changed. And Brian says something really, really smart that I think will probably be the big discussion for us here. It might go 5 minutes, 6 minutes. He kind of throws it out to Pokemon, the Pokemon company, and says, look, you screwed up Sun and Moon. You printed these tag teams, and they're cool. Tag teams are cool. Is that fair to say? They're cool.
They're cool looking.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that they're great for the game, bad for the game. I'm going to say right now that they're cool. It's a really cool concept. I love the idea of tag teams. But he said, you know what? You screwed this up. It didn't work. Here's your chance in Sword and Shield to take these V cards and these VMAX cards and create them in a way that allows other cards to be playable. And he kind of puts it in Pokemon's court and goes, all right, what are you going to do about it? You know this is where the format is heading. You know that a lot of people aren't necessarily in love with it. What are you going to do? What's this going to end up being? Are you going to print more tools for evolutions? What did you learn from Sun and Moon is basically what he's saying. And maybe they're going to learn nothing. You know, if we follow the basic trends of the past 15 years, they're not going to learn anything. They're just going to print something bigger. But we can hope that maybe this new mechanic and putting tag teams in the back seat of things will bring us back to an era that is just more patient. And that's a hard thing to do in today's society, I think. It's really hard to create something that encourages patience.
Yep, especially with the internet at our fingertips very easily, instant gratification, getting things we want instantly. Like, you can order your McDonald's meal or your Starbucks from your cell phone. You drive there, you pick it up, and you walk out. You can already pay for it. It sits there for you.
Yeah, and guess what? If you show up and it's not ready, you're probably pissed. You know, and I bet I'd be annoyed too, because I live in the same world. If I order something online and show up and it's not ready, you're like, what? What's going on? I ordered this. Why isn't it ready? You know, we expect instant. And you think about it from Pokemon's standpoint, you know, Pokemon's biggest crutches. It is a game that is supposed to, above all else, appease everyone regardless of age. And adults are a lot more patient than kids. And if a kid picks up this card game and the game's going to last 50 minutes because of evolutions, and that's an exaggeration, but you get what I'm saying, he's going to go to something else. And maybe that's the reason why we can't expect this either. It's kind of a shame, but it is what it is, you know? I think Brian has a lot of good things to say, though. If anybody has access to a computer, which you all do because you're listening to this darn thing, go read his article. I will make sure to put the article URL in our podcast information. I'll tweet it out. I'll do a couple more things. Please go check it out. It's words from someone who is passionate about this card game and doesn't play it because he's kind of heartbroken with where it's gone. You know, this is coming from somebody who has worshipped this franchise and the game and the card game. And here he is saying, look, I'm still with you guys, but man, this sucks. So I think it's a side of Pokemon that you should take the time to read and make your own opinions on. Do you agree with that, Joe?
Yeah, definitely. If we get to a patient format, it'd be not as gratifying, but it's going to be a lot better overall for the game. It's going to slow things down. You can actually have a conversation with your opponent. It'd be great because ultimately this game is a social thing. You're out to talk 100%. To people. You're out to hang out with people. And if you're going to play a game that ends in 5 minutes, what's the point of playing? You just spent a bunch of money on these cards to play for a 5 minute game.
Yeah, I agree. It is a social outing, and I hope that Brian's hopes and goals for this card game are eventually realized. Maybe Expanded does become more playable because of this, you know, going full circle. Maybe we do hit a moment where people play Expanded because it's the only format that they can play something that's fun. Who knows? You know, we'll see where the card game goes. And obviously, we're two people that are going to support it regardless as well. But we kind of hope to see the same thing. Even as someone that I'm saying that I don't really care either way, I would much more rather the game become more patient. 100%. And we're just going to have to see. You got anything else you want to say about this?
No.
All right. Well, you know, we've hit the end of our show. Thank you so much, guys, for watching. Again, shout outs to David. Shout outs to Brian for their awesome showings at League Cups, as well as articles. We want to support our listeners as much as possible. If you perform well in something or have something you want to say, our Facebook is probably the easiest way to face us or to reach out to us. Facebook is the platform for Pokemon players. I still think that's insane. I still think we should go to Discord, and I'm going to preach that till the day I die. But, you know, Facebook is the best platform for Pokemon content, aside from YouTube, and Twitter's getting there, but we're slowly building there as well. Thank you guys so much for watching. Listening, I should say. Man, how's it only Tuesday? It's only Tuesday, Joe.
A few more days until the weekend.
Oh, so close. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week.